It is good to see everybody here today. It's our last, I think, day of freedom for a lot of our school kids. I know that they are just beaming from ear to ear, looking forward to getting to go back to school again. And we do want to keep them in our prayers that they have a good school year, that their teachers and their administrators do well also. It's really good to see Brad here. Brad has kind of been through the ringer and back, but finally feeling good enough to get out, and so it's a surprise. I was just shocked when I saw him. So anyway, good to see you here, Brad. If you saw me visiting with Dave and then him getting up and leaving during the offering, it wasn't because him and Curtis were whispering and I was disciplining him. He keeps the microphone for this, so he was getting that for me, and I appreciate him doing that. I actually have a riddle for you today. I don't do this very often, but I heard it yesterday, and I thought it was such a good one that I would pass it on. And the question is this. Don't answer it out loud. Just think in your mind. But what is the fastest land mammal in the world? Just think about that. My first impression was a cheetah. I've got a grandson who keeps me informed on all these things, but it's not the cheetah. And so I thought, well, maybe it's the gazelle or the antelope that can get away from the cheetah, but that wasn't it either. The answer is the fastest land mammal on Earth, obviously, is a toddler who has just been asked what they have in their mouth. And I know this is true because I can remember one time with our daughter, Charisse. I don't think who ever walked in her life except for when she was sick. And when she started getting around, we had moved to a new home, and she was just standing there with her mouth closed, giggling. And so we knew something was wrong. So that was what we asked. What do you got in your mouth? And boy, she was off. And we finally caught her. She had a moth in her mouth. And it was one of those big Wyoming moths, you know, the kind with all the dust on them. And anyway, she was really mad when we took it out. But that was not nearly as bad as Carolyn's nephew, Gabe, who they found with a mouse in his mouth. And the way they found the mouse in his mouth was because the tail was still sticking out. This is my segue into my rats in a cage experiment. So think about this for a moment. As far as things that, maybe not you, but they trigger certain people. If I were to mention something along the lines of COVID or vaccines or masks or critical race theory or climate change or election fraud, these are the types of things that get people going, do they not? As a matter of fact, you may have to reel yourself back in now. Don't think about that. But the reason that I bring this up is because very often there are things that do trigger us, and they get us going in directions that perhaps we shouldn't be going in, and especially as a church. Not from a perspective that certain topics are forbidden to be talked about, but as far as making divisions. The experiments with the rats and the cage is this. This was done, I don't know, a number of decades ago, and it started with a single rat in a metal cage. And what they did was they hooked that cage up to electricity, and just every so often they would shock that rat. And it wasn't just for fun. They did it because they were trying to see how the rat would react, and they did. The rat would go crazy at first, and then after a while, it didn't like it when it got shocked, and it would react, but it kind of got used to it. Then they stuck a second rat in the cage, and what happened was those two rats, when that shock would come on, would start fighting each other to the death at different points, even though it wasn't the other rat in the cage that was doing the shocking. They would still try to kill one another, and you think, well, stupid rats. But now think about this. There are issues that are serious issues we need to give thought to that are worthy of thought. But a lot of times the information we get on these issues comes from one source or another that is really not doing much more than just trying to shock the rats in the cage to see who will fight. And it goes back to an ancient theory. I suppose if you went back to the Bible, you would find this very thing. I know you would. But it was a guy by the name of Philip II of Macedon. You may not have heard of him, but you've probably heard of his son, Alexander the Great, who took over most of the known world through conquest. But Philip II of Macedon came up with an idea of dividing and ruling. It eventually kind of filtered down to divide and conquer, but his idea, Alexander the Great's dad, came up with this idea: if you could divide the people and you could get them to fighting each other, they were just that much more easy to control. Now let me ask you this: do you think that Satan doesn't know this? Do you think that people who are trying to gain control for whatever reason don't know this? The problem is, as we receive these shocks, shock after shock after shock, and some of this stuff, you'll turn it on, you can't believe your ears that somebody's even suggesting something like this. And yet what we end up doing is, instead of trying to solve the problem with the people who are creating the problem, we often divide up into camps. And families end up dividing, and communities end up dividing, and churches end up dividing because they've lost sight of what's most important. And because the shocks are unpleasant and because the shocks are regular, they get distracted from their purpose. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 talks about this very thing. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And that's the focus that I want to get out of this passage. Serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in the single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that for a moment. Just from the Ten Commandments, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't covet. One thing after another, summed up by love your neighbor. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And of course, the greatest command, to love God. When we combine these things, this is our focus. But he says this in verse 15. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. And isn't that true? We allow people to get us enraged over this and over that, and we often turn on somebody who may have a different opinion than we do, sure enough, and it may be a serious different opinion, but they're not the ones introducing the shock into the cage. And we end up biting and devouring one another. And when we do that in the church, the consequences for that can be eternal. And so we have to make sure that our focus is upon, in fact, loving God and loving our neighbor. If we do that, while we will still give serious thought to serious issues, we won't allow them to get to the point where we start biting and devouring one another. Because unlike rats in a cage, we have a purpose. We're commanded to live in harmony. 1 Peter now, chapter 3 and verse 8. First of all, you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. We get our eyes off the blessing that we're to inherit and that our brothers and sisters are to inherit, and again we get to biting and devouring one another, and we cannot do that. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And then he says this, who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, always set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Before Carolyn and I came here, we had the opportunity to host the last guest speaker for a gospel meeting that we were present for in Casper, Wyoming, and really liked this guy. His name was Mike Schneider, and he was a preacher in Laramie, Wyoming. Laramie is the place that had a 4-year university in Wyoming, and they had a Bible chair there, and Mike was really good at studying with these young people, and we knew that, and so we were asking him some of the secrets about studying with people, and one of the things he said was this. He said, if you have an opportunity to study with somebody, study the gospel first. They might have all sorts of different questions on things from women in the worship to musical instruments to this or that. And he said, focus on the gospel. You can get back to these other things later, but you need to take care of first things first. And one of the points he made was you need to get them in the same boat as you are in. You want to be saved and they want to be saved. And if we are instead looking for issues that we know will divide off of the at the beginning, we might lose our opportunity to study with them about being saved. Once somebody is convinced that the Bible is the Word of God, it becomes very easy to study with them about different issues. But this idea about studying with people and making sure that we have our eyes focused on what is best, on giving people an answer for the hope that we have, this will keep us from having this tendency to bite and devour one another. And we can't do that if we're not living in harmony. In Romans chapter 14, in verse 1, it says this, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. There are some things that we're not going to agree on. And I'm not talking about some of the things that we've already mentioned. So I believe that the Bible has answers for things such as musical instruments and the women's role within the church. But when we talk about disputable matters, and some of these things I just mentioned, COVID, vaccine, masks, critical race theory, whatever it is that you are looking at that just kind of lights you on fire when you think about it, and when you're around other people who disagree with you, you just kind of lock horns. If we would not concentrate so much on the disputable matters, and rather concentrate on our love for one another and our attempting to get to the same place in the same boat, we're going to do much better. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 9, one of the ways we do that is this. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, arguments, and quarrels about the law. These are unprofitable and useless. They weren't even under the law anymore, and yet they were still arguing over the old law. And they said this. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. There is a point where somebody who is in that same cage with you won't let you not be shocked. And sometimes you just do have to walk away, at least for a time. But do so in love, and do so leaving a door open. I do want to point out this. There are hardships that we are going to endure in life. And there are things that require serious consideration. And we're going to have to figure out how we can best handle them. There are laws being put into effect right now that Christians cannot obey by faith. What do you do? Well, one of the things I think we do is we learn the rules of the game. I can remember when we first moved here and got involved in a basketball league of all things, and it just kind of shocked me because it seemed like every few weeks the rules were changed. Sometimes literally in the middle of the game, and it got frustrating to me, and I was that rat in the cage that was getting shocked all the time. And finally I decided, well, I'm going to learn what their rules are, and then I'm going to use them against them. And I did. That probably wasn't a very nice thing to do, but it worked really nicely. There are things that you are going to be asked to do, possibly even by law, that there are ways of getting around in a righteous way, but you're going to have to figure out what the rules are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he doesn't receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. So what do we do when the rules are skewed against you? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Jesus is sending out the 12 into the world, and he's sending these 12 out into the world to preach the good news of the one who has come into the world, and there's going to be problems with it. And so he said this, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Well, how do those two get along? Shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves? Well, the answer is this. You be innocent. You don't sin. Innocent as doves. But don't leave your brain behind and therefore put you at a mismatch with those who are on Satan's side. You have to be as shrewd as serpents sometimes. You can't sin in doing so. But you can use that brain that God gave you. And one of the ways I believe that we can keep from snapping at one another in the cage is by becoming shrewd in a fashion that is also righteous. Easy to say and hard to do, I realize, but it's doable. God's not going to give you anything that you cannot, He's not going to command you anything that you cannot comply with. So do your best to figure out how to comply with it. And one of the things that I think really is important is that we seek peace as much as people will allow it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. These two things go hand in hand. Holy means you don't sin. So it's not being in peace with somebody by giving in to something they want you to do that is not right. But you're still making every effort to live at peace with them. In other words, you're not snapping and biting at them. You're trying to figure out how everybody can be accommodated in the best possible way. And the reason that you're doing this is not because you're trying to be right or anything like that. It's because you're trying to seek the things of God. And one of the things God wants us to do is to live at peace with all men and to be holy. Some men will not allow you to live at peace with them and be holy. In that case, you have to be holy. But as far as it's up to you, live in peace. There are times, there's not any question, that there is an ultimatum that is given by unrighteous men upon righteous men. We have a situation like that in Acts chapter 4 and 5. Acts chapter 5, we have a situation where the apostles are being brought before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest, verse 27. And in verse 28, they say this, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." In other words, they weren't to mention Jesus' name. "Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." And Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." When we can be in compliance with both men and God, then we better be in compliance with both men and God. But when we cannot, we do not have a choice but to be in compliance with God. And that was his point. We have to be in compliance with God rather than men. When there is an either or, it has to be on God's side. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18 shows there is zero leeway in this. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, they called them in again. Now, this is actually before the passage we just read, but this is a different situation. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." This is such an obvious position for Christians that even when there was a conflict between people who believed in God, but one set didn't believe in Christ, there was an argument that could not be refuted. And that argument was, you just judge for yourself whether it's right to obey God or men. When it comes to obedience, it has to be God first. Again, there are times we have to do things we would prefer not to do, but we cannot do things that are opposed to God. We don't have that leeway. One of the reasons that we study the Word so much is that we need to understand what it is that God has for us so that we can do that. Romans chapter 16 now in verse 17. As to this idea of divisions, I believe this, you believe that, and we're not talking necessarily about something scriptural, or if we are, we may be in the realm of disputable matters. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. "I urge you, brothers, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them." Unfortunately, there are people, for whatever motives that maybe only they and God are familiar with, who are going to enjoy doing nothing more than shocking people. And they engage by doing so in division. There comes a point where if we cannot resolve that we are commanded to keep away. And so if we see that situation, that's what we have to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 is where we're going to close. And there's a couple points I want to make and then we will close. But again, it goes back to this idea of not allowing ourselves to be distracted by the shocks that people in control want to distract you with. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, "Keep reminding them, warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen." And then he says this, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly and their teaching will spread like gangrene." If you've been distracted like a rat in a cage with all the shocks that have been coming along, welcome to the club. And if you've been finding yourself snapping and biting at others and maybe even devouring one another because you're focused less upon your love for God and their salvation than you are on the topic at hand, welcome to the club. But we've got to do something about it. We cannot afford to allow the issues of the day, as serious as they are, to divide us. You cannot take an issue that is scriptural and go against scripture. You don't have that choice. I'm not saying compromise in that area. But I am saying maybe it would be good, it would behoove us to recognize where the shocks are coming from, try and figure out how best we can handle them, and then get on with our duty to serve God to the best of our ability and to seek and save the lost. That's what we're called for. Will we do it? Invitations open this morning. If you're ready to become a Christian, we would love to help you with that. Just come forward and let your desires be known while we stand and sing.